started. So yesterday we started the sugya of when Avelus begins, right? When is the beginning of Avelus? So we discussed Stimas HaGolel and the Scholas Avelus as far as, do you need any Nihuge Avelus on the day of the Stimas HaGolel, or if the mace is buried somewhere else, and some of that we even got into a little bit, some of the Dinim of Gadol Abayis. So I think where we left off last time, yesterday, was trying to define Gadol Abayis, what the definition of Gadol Abayis is, and we pointed out that there seem to be three different definitions of Gadol Abayis. One definition of Gadol Abayis is what the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, that it's the person who makes the decisions in the family, and even if he's not a Yoresh or anything, but he's the decision maker in the family, that is Gadol Abayis. The Shach quotes from Tshuvas HaRashba that if a married woman dies, the husband by definition is Gadol Abayis because he's Chayiv in the Kavura. So that's a little bit of a different definition of Gadol Abayis, that it's the person who is obligated in the Kavura. And then we pointed out that many others hold that Gadol Abayis is someone who is Rav Meisha holds this way in the Tshuvas Shem Shzadaka and Yared hold this way that this is that Gadol Abayis is someone who is supported, who does the supporting, that the other members of the household are being supported by the Gadol Abayis, or at least from the same table as the Gadol Abayis, even if it's from a trust fund or something, but he's the trustee, he's the one that that controls the fund, that controls where the money comes from. That's what Rav Meisha writes in Yerodea Chelek Dalet Simen Samachalif Oschaf Al, that Gadol Abayis is only going to be when you have children that are somech al shulchan aviyem, and the av is also an avel, like his wife died or one of the other children died. So then the av is the gadol abayis when one of them ends up in his house. Now the Rush in Siman Lamelches quotes from Eretz Gaius that a gadol abayis could even be a ben katan or an ach katan as long as kol bnei abayis are somech alav. So we saw yesterday in Shulchan Aruch that yesh misha omer that he has to be 13 years old. Okay, that's based on Agos Maimonides Parag Zayin in the name of the Sma. In the Tshuvas HaRashba, he says even an Isha, Tshuvas HaRashba, Tov Kuv Lamed Beis, even an Isha could be Gadol Abayis. It doesn't have to be, this is not like Srara, it's not like a public position of Srara where a woman is disqualified from being Gadol Abayis. No, Gadol Abayis is a private thing within the family. And as I remember of Willig telling us once, that's always been the case in Judaism. The woman was always the boss in the family. That's the way Jewish households have always run. So it could very well be that in that household, the woman is for sure the Gadol Abayis. You know, my children know if they ask about anything, pretty much any, no matter how big or small it is, they know what the answer is going to be if they come to me. It's always three words. Ask the boss. That's it. They know. I'll just look at them sometimes like, okay, I got it. Ask the boss. Right. Okay, fine. I mean, that's just the way it goes. So that's always been the way that it goes. So that's a woman could be a Gadol Abayis. The Ritva in Moed Katam Chav Beis and Beis is not sure about that. He's not sure that an Isha can be a Gadol Abayis. In Geshra Chaim, in Simin Yotes, Osei Sivkan Ches, he quotes in the name of Achronim that a woman can be a Gadol Abayis if the Inyane Ameis HaNechtachan Al Yada, meaning if she's the decision maker. As long as she's the decision maker, and very often she is, if she's the only one of that generation, then she is the Gadol Abayis. We had a situation here in the neighborhood not that long ago where a man in his 40s passed away. So the children are all very young. The mother is clearly the decision maker. There's no doubt that she's the Gadol Abayis in that sense. She's also, they're all Ochel al Shulchana. She's a Gadol Abayis in every sense of the word in that case, in that situation. So if someone goes together with the mace, and some of the Avelim remain behind in the place where the mace died, and some go to the city where he's going to be buried. So Rav Meisha writes in Yardei Chelek Dalet Simen Samach Sivkat and Hay that if some of the Avelim go with the Aron to Eretz Yisrael, and the other Avelim remain in Chutz Laretz, the ones that travel with the Aron have to sit Shiva from the Shas Kvura, even though everyone else started Shiva, like we learned yesterday, when they turn away, when they said goodbye at the airport, at the cargo area of the airport. Even though they all started to be Misabel at the same time, and then one of them went with the Aron to Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, that one that goes to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Kvura, he has to start the count of Shiva. And if no one living in Chutzarts is a Gadol Bayis, since all the Avelim are, you know, says Rav Moshe, all the Avelim are self-sufficient, they're not relying on each other to support them, to support each other, so none of them would be considered a Gadol Bayis, and therefore they would have separate Cheshbonos. L'chor, the Shach and Sivkat Yud Gimel says a little bit not this way, because he says that if all of the Avelim begin to count the Shiva together, that they're all there together at the Shas HaLevaya, then even if the Gadol Abayis goes to Eretz Yisrael with the mace, when he goes back to the other Avelim, he would be Mona Imahem. He would actually count with them. But let's get into this inyan of Gadol Abayis a little bit, and see where it might be practical and might even be helpful in certain circumstances. You know, there are certain cases, for example, where you have someone who's an Avel, as we discussed, I think, yesterday. You have someone who's an Avel who's elderly, and they're worried about the person's ability. Sometimes they're worried about even telling them about the Patira, but other times, like, you can't not. You know, you're going to have to tell them. They're going to find out about it. But you're worried about the person's ability to sit Shiva, right? You're worried that your 92-year-old grandfather is going to say, I can sit Shiva just fine, and that he can't really. He's not going to be able to handle the Shiva. So you're not going to keep it from him. You know, you do need to tell him that his brother or sister or whatever died, but you don't want him to have to observe the entire Shiva. So what do you do in such a case? Is there a way to minimize the Shiva? We had such a, not exactly that situation, but similar in our family not that long ago, when my grandfather wasn't an Avel, but my grandfather's nephew passed away, and he was very, very close with his nephew. His nephew was a major posek in Borough Park, Rav Leibel Katz. We've mentioned him before. He wrote the Sefer on Avelis as well. And my grandfather, we didn't tell my grandfather right away, even though my grandfather's very with it. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. We figured he wouldn't hear. He's not going on the Yeshiva World News every 2 seconds. But then we realized that he does subscribe to Mishpacha. And when he gets his Mishpacha magazine, you know, posek of my cousin's stature, they did a little piece on him. Of course, they were going to. So we didn't want him to learn it from there. So, I mean, obviously, this was not a case of sitting Shiva, but we had to tell him before he got his Mishpacha, you know, before he got his Mishpacha magazine. So sometimes you have a situation like that where it is an Avelus case, where you have to tell him. So is there ever a way to shorten the Avelus? Because normally, if you find out it's a Shmur Krova, it's not a Shmur Rechoka, you find out even a week or two after the Ptira, so then you sit Shiva, but it's got to be a full Shiva. So is there any way that you could shorten the Shiva? So a nice presentation of this appears in Rav Simcha ben Mekon's Morning in what's it called? Morning in Halacha? The Laws of Avelus? No, Morning in the Laws of Avelus, right? So he just points out, when you put all the poskim together, when you put the Se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch one after the other, you'll see that there is a way to work it out. Before we get to that, let's see a little bit of the sugya, of what the background is. The Braisa in Moed Katan, Daf Chaf Alfim Beis, tells us that Tanakama holds that anyone who's Ba B'toch Gimel Yamim from a Makom Karov is Mona Imahem. Now, within the first 3 days, so one of the relatives comes and joins the rest of the family, so says the Tanakama, he counts together with the rest of the family. And if one of the Avelim comes after Gimel Yamim, Mimakom Karov, so Tanakama says he's Mona Liatzmo, he's got to count his own Shiva from whenever he starts. Rabbi Shimon though says, no, he's Mona Imahem. So the Rush writes, Makom Karov is Mahalich Yom Echad. The amount of time that it takes to, the amount of distance that could be covered in a single day, which nowadays is a lot of distance can be covered in a single day when you have airplanes. So Bizman Azeh, right, you can come for Teretz Yisrael. So it's actually a discussion in the Achronim. Do we say, how do you view Makom Karov? Meaning, can you really say Eretz Yisrael is considered Makom Karov nowadays? So it's actually 3 days in the Achronim. In Tshuvas HaElvuch HaShlomo, Yerodea Simon Shintes, he says that Krova and Rechoka, that they say by Avelus, is Talu in going by foot and not going by horse. So how far a distance a person can cover in going by foot in a single day, right? The chevra, any chevra here went to Shalavim, right? You go on that Yom Yerushalayim march from Shalavim all the way to Yerushalayim. So that's about as far as you can go by foot in a single day. It's not a terribly great distance. That's Rav Shlomo Kluger. In Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, Chelik Beis Yardesim Mem and Chelik Gimel Yardesim Chavdalid, he's making that even in a place where there is no train, as long as you're able to get there, Al Yadeya train, if there would have been a train, then that's, that would still be considered Makom Karov, if you could take the fastest form of transportation that exists in your day and pretend that you had access to it, meaning it could be you live in somewhere in rural America where there is no train and there is no airport, but if you had a private jet, you know, you'd be able to go. So like from me to YU would be about 10 minutes, because if I had a helicopter, so I'd be able to, you know, get right through the traffic and I'd be able to get there in 10 minutes, even though in reality, if I ever want to go during normal time, it takes well over an hour to get there. But that's the shita of the Rav Pa'alim. And Yalkut Yosef, he quotes the shita of Rav Yashiv and the shita of Rav Vadi Yosef, that whenever you have the ability to get there in one day, that's called a Makom Karov. So that's the Pashas. And a Makom Karov means the amount of time that it would take you to get there, to actually get there in a single day. And that includes everything, meaning that includes the cab ride to the airport, checking in, you know, everything, that to actually get door to door within a single day. So if you're able to do that, then that would constitute a Makom Karov. So again, so the Braisa told us what happens if there's someone that comes from Makom Karov. If he's within the first 3 day of Avelus, he's Monei Mayim. He counts together with everybody else. If it's after the first 3 days of Avelus, so it's a machlokas tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, whether he's mona imayim or he's mona la'atzmo. But that's only if he did not know about the Misa before he joined his family. But if he already knew about the Misa before he joined his family, well then his Avelus began then, as soon as he found out about the Misa. So if he started to be Misabel on Yom Beis on the second day of Avelus, he can't be Makatzer the Avelus because they started a day earlier wherever they're sitting, even though he later joins them. That's not going to work. And that's what the Rush writes against the Ramban, actually, who says that there's no chiluk whether he heard about the mace in the place that he was originally, or whether he first heard about the mace, the Misa, when he joined. And we paskin halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ba'avel, because halacha is k'divrei mekel ba'avel. So mona imayim is even if he joins more than 3 days later. But if he comes biyom zayin, so on we have mitzvah kikulo on the seventh day of Shiva, so already amdu amenachem imei atzlan, they're no longer sitting Shiva when he gets there. They're not being noig dina avelus anymore. So then he can't say, oh, I'm with them. Oh, they're done already? Okay, I guess I'm done already. No. There's no joining with them if they're already done. Then he's going to have to count his own avelus. Kuli amlo pligi, though, that if he comes bimakom rachok, if there still exists such a place, then he's mona la'atzmo. So the Gemara explains all this. All of this is only true when there's a gadol abayis in the bayis. Then he could be mona imahem. But when there is no gadol abayis, he always has to be mona li'atzmo. He always has to count on his own. And all of this is paskin beferish and shulchan aruch si'if ches si'if tes over here. I'm sure you saw it, so we don't have to read it inside right now. But all of this is beferish in shulchan aruch si'if ches and si'if tes. So now, how does that help us solve our problem or our issue with someone who maybe is not going to be able to handle Avelus properly, so we want to shorten his Shiva? So Rav Simcha Bunim Kahn says what you need is you need to create four conditions, and then it's going to work based on everything we just said. Number one, you need to make sure that the Avel did not start sitting Shiva after he was informed of the Patira, but he waited to join the other Avelim, that he only began his Avelus with the other Avelim. Number two, he says, at the time of the Kavura, he had to have been at a Makom Karov. He had to have been close enough that you could travel from where he was to where the Kavura was in 1 day or less. Number three, you need that the Avel joins them in the city where the person passed away, or at least where the person was buried. And number four, he has to join the Gadol Abayis before the Gadol Abayis finishes sitting Shiva. Right? The Gadol Abayis has to be there. So this could be very practical. Let's go through. Why does he say each of these four qualifications. Where do each of these come from? So first you have Shulchan Aruch Shinayin Hei Sif Tes for the first qualification, that he didn't start the Shiva when he was informed of the death. He waited to join the other Avelim. But if he started to sit Shiva before he joined the other Avelim, then he's on his own Cheshbon, because Shulchan Aruch writes, Bamed Varmam Bishlasham Shemeis Ad Shaba Avelim Nodel Obiyam Hasheni V'Hischil Isabel Lo Yekatzer Avelus Bishil Shaba Etzlam. He can't shorten his Avelus just because he now joined them. So it sounds that's only because he found out on Yom Sheni and he started to be Misabel that he's not Nigrar Imahim. But if he only knows that the person died and he was not Maschil Isabel, he didn't start to be Misabel, maybe he can be Nigrar Imahim. Meaning, one could potentially ask, well, wait a second, what has to wait until he joins them? His Yediya of the Ptira? Or just his nihuge avelus, meaning what if he knows about the death on, let's say, day two of Shiva, and then he travels to where the other avelim are, and that's when he starts sitting Shiva on day three when he gets to where the avelim are, not on day two. So is that good enough that he can now join together with them? So the mashmas of the Shulchan Aruch is yes, that is good enough as long as he only started to be noeg avelus when he joined them. Even if he knew about it before, he could still be Nigrar Imahim. And that's what a number of the Achronim write explicitly. The Maram Shik writes this in the Tshuva in Yardesim in Shin Samach Beis, Geshar Chaim in Parak Yates, Hey Beis, Ravadi Yosef in Chazon Avadia, and many, many other Achronim say this way as well. However, the Shach and Sivkat and Yir Gimel and the Chachmas Adam and Klal Kuf Samach Beis, they leave out this phrase, the Hischil Isabel. They hold that as long as he knows about the Misa, even though he was not Maschil Isabel, he loses the opportunity to be Nigrar Achar Gadol Abayis. That it has to be that he doesn't even hear about it until he gets to the place where the other Avelim are sitting. Okay, so you have a legitimate Machlokes, whether you can rely on this when he found out about it before he joined together with the other Avelim, which is very important, because that's usually the case. Meaning, why would he be motivated to join the other Avelim? He lives somewhere else. He's an old man. Where's he traveling to? Elamai, he heard that his sister died, so he wants to sit with his sister's children. So he wants to sit with the rest of the family. So he joined the rest of the family in order to sit with them. But he didn't actually start sitting Shiva till he joined them. So that's a very, very common case. So that's subject to this Machlokes, the Pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch against the Shach, essentially. And there are Achronim that take major Achronim that take sides on each side of this Machlokes. Second qualification, we said, that it has to be within 24 hours of where he was. This is the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in Siv Ches, that someone who's then he doesn't know until he comes to the makom that the person died, or the makom akvura. So as long as it's a makom karov, so the Badei Shulchan writes that ein lefarish to makom kvura ratzolom makom akever mamish. You don't have to actually come to the place of the kever. Shulchan Aruch doesn't mean that. It means you have to come to the town, to the city where the kavura happened. So Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that someone who's meis lemeis and he didn't know until he arrived at the makom where the mace was, or the makom of the kavura. So if he was b'makom karov, which is a mahalich of yud parsaos, which is the distance that one can travel in a single day, even if he comes on Yom Zayin, as long as they haven't gotten up yet, he can sit Shiva with them. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, V'nira Sha'achshav, the Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Ayin Hei Se'if Yod Zayin, V'nira Sha'achshav, Shenisrabu Mesilos HaBarzel, V'nosim B'mehiros Gadol, Mikri Makom Karov, Kol Shabicholos Lava B'yom Echad Ala Mesila, Dezil Basar Taima, K'nam Yishkein Moronat Alach Lamaisa. The Aruch HaShulchan says, like we quoted before, B'shem Rov Poskim, that's Shita number 3, that it's not about whether the technology exists to get a person from one place to the other, nor is it about a person, how far, in the other extreme, how far a person can actually walk in a day, but it's about practically, can he get there? Taking everything into account, taking travel time to the airport, time spent in the airport, everything has to be taken into account into the travel time. And obviously it has to be realistic. You can't say, well, if everything goes perfectly, nothing ever went perfectly in an airport, in the best of times, right? There is no if everything goes perfectly. It has to be that realistically, when a person expects to get there. But still, most places in the world would expect to get there within 24 hours. So one second, what was that? A question popped on my screen. So Ezra asks, if he knows that the burial happened, why would he be allowed to not start Avelus? Isn't it an obligation? Yeah, l'chora, it is an obligation to start Avelus, but maybe he starts traveling right away. So he doesn't sit Shiva, he doesn't take off his leather shoes, he doesn't do any active niyug Avelus because he wants to join the family right away. So that's what somebody, he didn't sit Shiva in his hometown at all. Does he remain an onen? I don't think he's an onen. I don't think he's part of a mitzvah. He's certainly not osik in the kavura. So he probably has all the Isurei Avelus, but the question of Nihuge Avelus, right? That he wasn't knowing any of the Nihuge Avelus yet. The third condition is that he has to be in that city where the person passed away or the person was buried. There are some posts that go even a step further and say that he has to join together with the other Avelim Mamish in the same house where they're sitting Shiva. Other poskim not so convinced that he has to do that as long as it's the same city where they're sitting Shiva. This is a machlokas between Rav Simcha Ben Kohen quotes between the Tshuvas Beis Shlomo Chelik Beis Simin Reish Chafei who's Machmir. It's got to be the same house. And Rav Avadya in the Chazon Avadya Chavelus Chel Gimel page Kuf Pei Vav brings many poskim that are makel on this issue. But if the Avelim, the other Avelim are sitting Shiva somewhere else where the death didn't happen, the Kavura didn't happen, then there's no joining together with them and going along with their cheshbon. That is not universally agreed upon. The Arzarua writes in Sim Tav Chav Dalid that when the Avelim are not sitting in the place where the Shemesh Sham, where the Ir Shenikbar Sham, then you don't become Tafel, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that he's not Nigar Achar Gadol Abayis unless he comes to that same place, and that's what the Shach writes Sivkat Nir Aleph as well. However, the Mi'iri in Moed Katan Chaf Aleph and Beis writes, Misha Meslo Karo Velo Hayasham Mishas Kvuraso Velo Hugab Lo Al Misas Krovo, someone who lost a relative and he wasn't there when the Levaya happened and he wasn't told about it. El Shabim Mikre Balamakum Shmes Krovo. He just happened to show up to the place where the guy died. Olamakum Shak Oh Lemakum Shakrove Ames Hoyum Misabum Shami Piashmua. Or he just went to the place they were sitting Shiva. Afopi Shalome Samesham, even though the guy did not die there. In Bam Makum Karv Shumalchi Omechar Olvay Makum Karv Lemisa Semes B'Shir Niskar Lemakum Shigia Shmua V'Shayu Krov Misal Misham Harez Emoni Imayim. Then all these halachas apply. Whoa! So Miri is saying very different, that he doesn't have to join them in the city where the Levaya was. He doesn't have to join them in the city where he died. He could join them in the city where they're sitting Shiva, and that's perfectly fine as well. So not everyone agrees to the pashtus of what the Shulchan Aruch says based on the Arzarua in Chazon Avadya in Hilchos Avelus Chelek Gimel page Kuf Pei Zayin. He's somech on this Mi'iri. Halacha k'divrei Meikel Ba'avel, and he's somech on this Mi'iri. The Pnei Baruch also quotes from Rav Sarai Dublitsky the same thing. That's what he quotes over here in the Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yir Aleph, Simenayim Beis. He said, B'makom Hefsir Ocholi, you could be somech on that as well. But ideally he should have to join to where the place was that the person either died or that the Kavura happened. And then the fourth qualification, then we'll take the questions, and that is that there has to be a Gadol Habayis. In order to join the other people, there has to be a Gadol Habayis sitting Shiva, and then you can become Tafel to the Gadol. Shulchan Aruch is explicit about this in Se'if Ches. How do we define Gadol Habayis in this context? So in the Ha'aros that he wrote to the Sefer Pnei Baruch, Rav Sarai Dublitsky writes, V'gam b'mahus geder Gadol Habayis ha'nimtzakan yesh l'chapes kulos l'hakel al kol ha'bayin l'starifito u'lahachshav ha'nimtza misablikan l'gadol habayis.
Find anyone that would consider one of the Avelim a Gadol Habayis and go with it.
You don't need to have someone who's the Kuli Alma Gadol Abayis. So how would you have such a case? So the Zaidi is 92 years old, and he finds out that that his sister died. So he comes and he joins the Shiva with his sister's children. So they're going to be a Gadol Abayis that he's tafel to? Well, if you hold that the definition of Gadol Abayis is Mishan Eschayev Bikvurasa, yeah, so the sister's husband is the Gadol Abayis. If you hold the definition of Gadol Abayis is Mishan Echtachna Alpiv, the one who makes the decision, well, 92-year-old Zaidi is not the one that makes the decisions. Someone else over there makes the decisions. So someone else made those decisions. Obviously, the Levaya happened already. So you have a Gadol Abayis. So Mela, he's allowed to join. And therefore, it would turn out that might be a helpful Eitzah when you have such a case where you have an older person, you're going to have to tell him. He's going to realize. But why do you have to tell him today? Give it a few days, and he'll understand, and he'll be grateful eventually that you cut his shiva a little bit shorter because of his inability to observe the entire shiva. Question is, what if when he shows up, the Gadol Abayis already? You know, Gadol Abayis lives in you often happen over here. Someone dies, and they have one child that lives in the five towns, and one that lives in Tinek, and one that lives in New Rochelle, and I'm looking at some New Rochelle people. So you have people that live in in these three different locations. So very often they'll the parent was from Brooklyn. Everyone started in Brooklyn. So the parent was from Brooklyn. So everybody's in everybody starts shiva in Brooklyn, and then they move out to their to their given locations. And the only one left in Brooklyn is one of the siblings who happens to still live in Brooklyn, and the single child or whatever. Right? They're the only ones still in Brooklyn, but everyone else moved away, including the Gadol Abayis. He's back in Teaneck now. So now 92-year-old Zaidi comes in to sit shiva, and the Gadol Abayis is not even there anymore. So what do you do in that case? So that's a discussion. That's a discussion in Poskim, whether you would still follow the Gadol Abayis. That if the Gadol Abayis wasn't present when the new Avel showed up, some of the Poskim are makel. The Badei HaShulchan writes in the Biurim that, explaining a sheet of the Rimigash, that even though the simple reading of the Gemara sounds that he comes and he finds the Menachemim Eitzel HaGadol Abayis, he finds the Menachemim by the Gadol Abayis, which makes it sound like Gadol Abayis has to actually be there, but nah, you don't really. It's just Orcha Demilsa Nakat. It doesn't really mean that the Gadol Abayis has to actually be there. It just means that the Gadol Abayis was sitting shiva there at some time. There are those that say that even if there's no Gadol Abayis, and this is the greater Chiddush, that even if there's no Gadol Abayis, in the case of a Tzorech, the Avel is elderly, the Avel is sick, like we said, then the Avel could finish the Shiva along with the other Avelim. Geshar Chaim writes this way in Perek Yotes, Hey Ches. Ramesh writes this way as well, Yerdei Chel Dal Sim Samach Aleph Os Chaf Aleph. So there is such a shita as well, and sometimes people are willing to be somich on it. It's based on a rimigash as well. So that's as far as that eitza. That's based on these si'ifim over here of si'if ches and tes, as far as when Gadol Abayis can come in very handy in the case of real need. Let's get to the questions now. Let's see. Ben, is one day's journey defined as 24 hours of traveling? When the Gemara was speaking about, so we spoke about that, right? We went through the Shittos. Next, Gabe, shouldn't it be a 12-hour period since 40 parsos? Yeah, it could be because it was impossible to travel at night back then. So that's why the 40 parsos, how much you would travel in one day, because you wouldn't be traveling at night, it was dangerous. But nowadays, sometimes more convenient to travel at night, the red eye and things like that. So I don't know, but that's a good question. And Nathan Siegel, if we are machmir on shiva, which is Rabbanan, why is that not an issue of being makel on bittul Torah da oraisa? Well, we're not machmir on shiva. What do you mean? I'm not going to say we're makel, meaning we're finding, we're going.
Sometimes we're being machmir on the amount of time for shiva, adding on days of shiva.
No, because they got a paskin halacha. That's they're calling the halacha the way they see it. So that's not you can't say that you have to follow that as long as you find a single rav, or posek or rishon that says anything that everyone's got to get in line to be makel in the time of shiva so that they can be machmir in Talmud Torah. That and also, but we'll discuss when we get to Talmud Torah whether there's another is completely potter from Talmud Torah, or it's just that he's a, you know, Dvar Maroyim. But Pasha says he is totally potter from Talmud Torah. Also, how is it possible that someone says that Shir Yom depends upon whether or not the technology theoretically exists to get you there? Haven't horses always existed? When was the Shir ever 40 parsos? That's a great question. Yeah, that's a very difficult shita to understand. Maybe it means that it's a kind of transportation, it's a mode of transportation that people typically use. So even though you don't have access to it currently, but in those days, who could afford a horse? A Jew would not. I don't know. It's a very good question. That's not the Pashtus. The Pashtus is one of the other two shitas. I think we generally assume it's practically how quickly can you get there. But even practically, how quickly can you get there? It's almost always within a day that you can practically get there. I don't know. I've never been to Australia. I was invited just a few months ago. They invited me to come to Australia next summer, winter. I forget which, because whatever it is here, it's not there. I don't know. But I think they, next summer, to come to Australia in the dead of winter, you know, in Australia. So I've never been. But they said, like, you have to, like, you know, mark off like a week on your calendar because it takes forever to get there and to get back. So my wife wasn't super duper excited about that. Okay. What time is it? We still have some time? Okay, a little bit of time. So a couple of more issues that come up over here in Simon Shin Ayin Hey. Let's see, which ones should we do? Maybe the smaller issues first. The Mordechai in Simon Tuf Kuf Chaf Gimel says if someone davens Mariv and it's still Yom before Tzeis HaKuchavim and then Shamash Shmur Shemes LaBeis, you're talking about when to start Shiva, how to count when the end of Shiva is. What if he's davened Marv already, but it's still broad daylight outside? He davened after Plag. So what do you do now as far as counting his Shiva? So he says, Nir l'maharam, that your mona miyom ha-macharas. That for you, it's ready the next day. And therefore, the earlier day is not ola to the Shiva, even though it's a dying yom, even though it's still daytime. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Yoteh says, okay, yeah, but still put on tefillin the next day. Because we only say that you count miyom ha-macharas l'chumra, not l'kula. The reason is because it would seem like it's trei kuli desasri adadi. And the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yod Alef, over here, says the Shulchan Aruch, Misha espalal arvis v'adayinu yom, v'shamash meis l'meis, yesh misha omer, shemonim yom ha-machras, v'osiyom eina olas. What do you do when the Shulchan Aruch quotes yesh misha omer, but he doesn't quote anyone that disagrees? Why would he say yesh misha omer? So normally when the Shulchan Aruch quotes a stam and a yesh misha omer, so clearly the halach is like the stam. But when the Shulchan Aruch only quotes Yesh Misha Omer, so the klal is that that's what he's really paskening. He says Yesh Misha Omer most likely because most Rishonim don't talk about it. And one Rishon brought it up. The other Rishonim were silent about it. So he'll say Yesh Misha Omer. That's the Pashtos of why he says Yesh Misha Omer. But it certainly is not an indication that he's not paskening that way. There are Mar Makamos on this topic. I think we may have discussed in one of the earlier Shiurim about the Lashonos of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch is clearly paskening this way. Pischei Tshuva in Sivkat Nehei quotes from Tshuva Sradvas HaChadashos that if years about Shmuel Krova Ben Hashmashos is counted from the Yom and he's Mona Avelus from that day. And the Pashtus is being subject to Rabbanan Lakula. Meaning not the case where he already davened Marv, but it's Oda Yom Gadol. No, a case where it's Ben Hashmashos, so it's Mamish, Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So we could go Safik Rabban Lakula, we can go Lahakel and Avelus of Shiva, and we could start the count on Shiva from the earlier day. In Yalkut Yosef, in Simin Chav Dalid Ha'ara, footnote number one, Ha'ara Aleph, he says, yeah, but Ben Hashmashos is a complicated topic. And, if you're talking about Ben Hashmashos to Rabbeinu Tam, since the Minig is not like Rabbeinu Tam, so you cannot rely on Ben Hashmashos or Rabbeinu Tam to say the earlier day. Certainly in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, everyone follows the Gra. They're not Goris Rabbeinu Tam. They're not even starting for Rabbeinu Tam to Svek Sveka, usually, in Eretz Yisrael. See, for us, in Chutz La'aretz, Rabbeinu Tam had a strong say in how things went. Many Hasidic communities followed Rabbeinu Tam, Ben Lekula, Ben Lechumra, they followed even Lekula to when they started Shabbos. There were many, many communities in Europe and even in America in the early days. I think there might still be certain Hasidim in America that you'll see 25 minutes after Shkia, they're doing Melachos Da'araisa, that they mamish paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. So for us, it's a real suffix, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's not really a thing. So a suffix, svek sveka, to be, or to even be Messiah for Rabbeinu Tam is a suffix, Rav Avadia says, you shouldn't do. There's discussion, you know, it's interesting, the post can give like number of minutes that you could still be Mekel, how many minutes after Shkia. And so I always find these discussions like strange, right? That, you know, how many minutes? Where are you? When are you? You know, the halacha is almost definitely determined by darkness, right? Hichsef elyon, lo hichsef hatachton, you ever learn those sugyas in Pesachim and Shabbos, so you learn those two sugyas and the Rishonim. It seems pretty clear that the halacha is not based on. They never talk about, you know, I'm not never. They talk about Gimel Reve Mil, but that's clearly under certain circumstances. It doesn't make sense that the halacha would be that when it's a certain amount of darkness, it turns into Laila on one night, and then 3 months later, it has to be much, much more dark to turn into Laila. It doesn't make sense. Pashtus is to measure it the way we would measure is by degrees below the horizon. That's what, if you go on the Maizmanim website, that's how they measure the Zmanim. How many degrees the sun is below the horizon, and that's how they figure out the Shito. So you'll find a lot of discussion over here about how many minutes after Shkia can you still assume that you're in the area of Suffolk where you can count the previous day as the first day of Avelis. Not so Nogaya for us, because we don't do Kavura during that time, and Avelis normally starts at the Kavura. Meaning, you know, a person may find out about the Misa at that time, but that doesn't kick off the Avelis anyway, right? This whole discussion is the person's already dead and buried, and then someone finds out, then a relative finds out about it during Ben HaShemashos. So it's not really particularly relevant. Pisrei Tshuva, he just quotes, interestingly, in Sifkat and Vav, that this dafka legabe the Avelus, but when it comes to the yard site, if someone dies after Mariv, va'odayam gadol, then certainly the yard site's biyom. Meaning, because that's not a tarti desasri. Meaning, he died objectively by yom. As far as your niyug avelus, for you, it's tomorrow already. So your personal niyug avelus is going to be the next day, because you already daven marv. But the yard site is the anniversary of when he actually died. So the yard site is going to be observed on the on that day, since it was Oda Yom Gadol. The Shach in Sifkat Yedalid writes that all of this is even if the Tzibur already davened, as long as this fellow didn't daven yet. Even though in Sim Kuf Sadivav we paskin by Nida that Yenigar Achar Akal, that's because it's not normal for a woman, it's not usual, I should say, for a woman to daven Marav, so Mela, she's Negreris Achar Tzibur. And even if this woman does daven Marav, it's a low pluk. That's how the Shach writes. So according to that Chilik, a woman is Negreris Achar Tzibur. So all of that is based on the Marshal. But then he says other reasons to be mechalik between Nida and Avelis. That Nida, she wanted to be mekel on herself and to start Shemini Nekiyim. So lav kol kamina, lav fuke nafsho mitzibura. That she can't decide she's going to be separate from the tzibur. But over here, min hashamayim sholchu lo Avelis. He didn't ask for the Avelis to start. That happened al korcho when it was still day and he hadn't yet davened. So then you could say l'didi, it's yom. I know the Tzibur already daven Mariv, but for me, it's still yom. And also, Avelus is only Dirabanan. Nida, it could very well be that her Shiva Nakim is a requirement midaraisa, because it could be that she's a Zava Gadola. So, according to these reasons, even by Avelus of a woman, we could be Mekel. Meaning, if the community already daven Mariv, but the Avel didn't daven Mariv, so then and then they find out that the relative is dead and buried, they could say, for me, it's still Yom. For me, it's still Yom. Dag Mavavar writes that according to the Marshal, even an Ish Shemes Lameis be Yom, and they didn't bury him until after the Tzibur already davened, even though this fellow did not daven, he's Nigra Achar Tzibur, and he would have to count from the next day, because it's the time, because at that time he's like an Isha, where he's not able to daven because of his Aninus. Meaning, if you just change the case a little bit, it's not that he finds out all at once that the relative is dead and buried. He finds out that the relative is dead. And then, so now he knows that he's an Onei. So, and that was like in the middle of the day. That was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they bury him after the Tzibur already Davin Mariv, but this particular Onein hasn't yet Davin Mariv, so then he would for sure go with the Tzibur, because then he becomes like an Isha who doesn't Davin Mariv, because an Onein doesn't Davin Mariv. So that's the Cheshbon that the Dagal Mervava makes. So La Halacha, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Yotes, Umisha Nikvar Samuch L'Shabbos, the take of Achar Kvura Havcha Avelim Paneim Ba'ochul Beis HaKnesses, the Avelim goes straight from the cemetery to Shul on Friday night, Afal Bikein Ola Yom Vav La Avelus, Af Shalom Nagu Shum Avelus, Tafichus Paneim Havi Aschalus Avelus. They don't need a new Gavelus, just being Hofich Paneim. The Afal Gavdilin in Regel Yisparar Breishul, we already read this yesterday, I think, right? That even though when it comes to Regel, you have to actually be knowing the Avelus before the Regel, that's because the Regel is going to be Mvatel Shiva, there won't be any new Gavelus for the whole time. But over here, the Avelus will continue after Shabbos, right? So that is, Nihug is not necessary, says the Aruch HaShulchan and the Netziv as well, in Meshiv Davar. Let's get to some questions here. We got Simon Afriya. Don't we hold by Nida that if a woman davens Arvit during daytime, it does not cancel that day for Hafsik? Right, so that's what we're discussing, what the difference is between Nida and Avelus. Beit HaShemashos may be relevant for burials that happen in Yerushalayim, because they bury at night. Yeah, Taka. That's Taka. But I think they bury after Beit HaShemashos. Do they bury after Beit HaShemashos? I think they bury normally, they dafka bury at night, I think. They bury later. But yeah, that's definitely true. Now, what happens if a person is sitting Shiva and then someone else dies? So the Mordechai writes, and this is quoted by the Beis Yosef over here, a Maisa Baharav Rav Shlomo Mitrivash, that he was an Avel, and Betoch Shlosh Yamim Meis Lo Meis. In the first 3 days of Avelus, someone else, another family member, died. V'halach v'livo yachaf l'beis hakvaros, and he went and he escorted the mace barefoot to the beis hakvaros. V'chazer v'yishlom shivi yamim mace harishon, v'chazer mona shivi yamim acherim, v'yishlom ha'achron bosa yam shivishlom harishon. And then he counted 7 other days, and he was he was mashlim the achron bosa yam Yeah, meaning Belsia, he was maschil the achron. Now, there must be a typo in my notes. On the day that he was mashlim the rishon, velo ratza sheshiva yamim that mimeis achron shiyalu gam the rishon. He didn't want them to overlap, and he gives a tamlu dvarav, and then he says amnam nishamati that you don't need to count the shiva kiyamina achron. They only need to count 7 days from the achron. So in Shulchan Aruch we paskin that you count shiva from the second mace, and that counts for the mace rishon as well. That you don't need to separate them. It's not like shivas yimei mishnah and shivas yimei avelus where they need to be separated out. A person can be in double avelus, right? Not only it often happens within a year that a person is in double avelus. Very often older couples that die within the same year as each other. So that often happens. But even within the same shiva, they can overlap, and that's not a separate avelus. Geshra Chaim in Parak Tazayin Oschah Sivkat Nehei writes that if a mace is Nisraf, the Avelus begins from the time that they are cremated, even if they're going to be buried on a different day. So the cremation would also kick off the Avelus. Obviously no Stimas HaGolel, but it's done, pretty much. Even though it's proper to bury the person, but in Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov, Chelek Alef, Siman Lamed Beis, he writes, Meikar Adin, there's no longer a Chiyuv Kavura on the ashes, and therefore, since there's no chiyuv kavura, even though it's nachon, it's the right thing to do to bury even the ashes, the avelus would start right away. Rav Shachter also told us that certainly nachon lekavram, but he said not in the emtza beis hakvaros, not right in the middle of the beis hakvaros. There should be like a separate section off to the side for someone. Probably that relates to what the Mishnah says in Masech Sanhedrin, that you don't bury tzaddikim etzel rishayim, and you bury people in Sanhedrin. The context is we're talking about the Dal Misas Beis Din. So the Niskalin v'Nisrafin had a different area to be buried, a different cemetery to be buried than the Nechnakin v'Ne'aragin, because the Niskalin v'Nisrafin, Machlokas Tanayim, which is worse, but that's certainly the more severe of the Chiyuve Misos. So they're bigger Rishayim, so they get buried in a separate place. So certainly that's why many cemeteries have what they call the Chelek HaRabbanim, that all the rabbis are buried in one place. case. There used to be an assumption that all the rabbis were tzaddikim, so they would bury them all in the same place. As Rav Schechter said, that he thought, he was under the impression that that's why if you go to cemeteries, you'll often find like an entire section dedicated to a shul. You know, the Young Israel of whatever has like a whole section. So why? What does davening and shul together have to do with being buried together? Why would they have a section? So pashtus is, it's really just economic reasons. That's the way we work these things out. That we, the shul puts it together and then they offer that we're selling, and the shul makes a couple of bucks off of it or whatever. And that's how, and they get a discount bulk rate or something on kvarim. But that's the pashtus. But Rav Schechter thought that there's a value to that minhag in the sense that most people who belong to the same shul are roughly on the same level of religious observance. Within a certain range. So if people are in the same shul together, so pashtus is that they belong near each other in the cemetery. Okay. Yeah, so, but the mace that's nisraf, even though it's the right thing to do to bury him, to bury the ashes, but it's not technically a chiv kvura, and the avelos. Lo aleinu, I mean, this happens. These shaylos come up. Sometimes there's a non-religious relative and they find that kavura is so wasteful, it's a waste of space on earth, and they're cheshbining already centuries ahead. How's there going to be room for all these dead bodies? And they want to do what's good for the environment, or whatever. They have all sorts of cheshbonos. What did we not get to? Oh, the Ramban in the Rush, based on Yerushalmi, say that if you move a mace mikever lekever, so if you bury him in the kever rishon al das that he's going to be there forever, you just later change your mind to move him from there. So you only count the avelus mishiyistam agolo larishon, even if they moved him within shiva. But if originally you buried him al das to move him, when that happens, you begin the avelus right away. And if you move him within shiva, you begin again from stimas hagolal hasheni. You have to start the shiva, restart the shiva again. And if you don't remove him until after shiva and the avelus is over, so you don't have to start shiva again. But within shiva, you'd have to restart shiva. So the Rush writes that there was a maisa with Rabbi Kolonimus Hazakein ben Rav Yitzchak Zal, who was in captivity, and they placed him in an aron, and they kept him in the Beis HaMikvah, and they counted Shiva and Shloshim, even though they planned on moving him after, not in captivity, but it was a time of of pogroms or whatever. They couldn't go out to the Beis HaKvaros, they couldn't go out to the city, so they just put him in the building with the mikvah. I probably freaked out the women that had to use the mikvah, but they put him in the in that building, and they knew that they were going to move him. So since they didn't move him within shiva, they counted from stimas golol rishon. But if they intended to move him within shiva, you would count from stimas golol sheni. So but if originally they wanted to move him b'toch shiva, you would wait for Golol Sheni. So that's what in Sif Gimel, that's what Shulchan Aruch writes over here, that this comes up. As you never know when these halachas are going to come up. I can't imagine this halacha coming up, but you never know. After what we've seen with Corona, it's good to see every halacha and to try to remember them. He who planned on keeping him there, even if you end up moving him b'toch shiva, it counts from the first stima sagolal. But if you originally buried him al das to move him when you have an opportunity, so then you start shiva right away. But then if you move him within shiva, you restart shiva. But if you only move him after shiva, the avelus is over and you're not misabel pamacheres v'mitchila yadaitam lufnos misham toch shiva. But if you buried him knowing that you're going to move him dafka within shiva, then you wait till you do so. And when you move him within shiva, that's when you're going to start the avelus. The Mechaber in the Beis Yosef and in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalid is mochiach from the Rush that if the ear was b'matzor, they count miyad the shiva and the shloshim, even though they intend to bury him in the Beis HaKvaros as soon as the riots are over, and the stima sa'aron would then take on the status of a kvura, and the avelus would be chal right away. Okay, so we'll stop at that, and Bez Hashem on Sunday. Right, on Sunday, we do have Shir on Sundays. On Sunday, we'll go Shinai and Vav. We'll just go straight. Shinai and Zion, we're probably not going to do. But on Sunday, we'll move on to Shinai and Vav. Minag HaMenachem, Medin Meshe, Lo Menachem. Right? Dinim of Nichum Avim. we're not going to do Shinayin Zayin, Avadim Shvachos, not so Nogaya. But we will do Shinayin Chas, Bez Hashem, on Monday. Right? Dine Sudas Havra. So we'll try to get moving over here. Okay, have a great day, everybody, and a great Shabbos.